Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Becky Hull, and Heather Steele. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
How are you all doing?
Good. The sun is shining. Do you know what? My mood is so improved with this weather. Although it's not super warm, it's the nicest feeling being able to actually get out comfortably and just feel so much happier in this.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Becky. It puts a spring in your step.
Beautiful.
It doesn't look that warm though. Like, I know it is nice in the sun, but the rest of the week is still like 13. Like, where's the 18, you know?
Yeah, I must admit, it kind of makes you, it takes you out in false pretenses, doesn't it? And especially as we're only allowed outside in the evenings. Like, I'm seeing someone Wednesday night and already I'm thinking, oh my God, it's going to be like 3 degrees. But it's just, I don't know, I've got a real spring in my step with the sunshine.
Baby steps, people, we're getting there.
Exactly.
Baby steps. Yeah, we are getting there.
On Saturday night, I was lying in bed and I could hear all these people laughing and the music playing. And I think probably a couple of years ago, I would have been a bit frustrated, but it was just such a lovely sound.
Yeah.
Just lying there, soaking it in and people having a good time.
We walked down to Portobello on Saturday and it was something I hadn't realised that had been missing over the past few months is smells from restaurants. And obviously people have been, good smells, positive smells, scents from restaurants. You know, people have obviously, been carrying on with takeaways. But it was like palpable. Everywhere you walk past, either smell of grilling or frying or cooking. And it was just like, oh my God, it's life again. It was just the best feeling.
It is. It's the smell of life, isn't it? Oh my God, we've all come back to life.
Smell of life. So dramatic, but so true. What have you guys been up to? Did you make the most of the fact that we could go out again last week? Laura, have you hit any restaurants yet?
Yeah, I went to the Domes at Somerset House for supper last week with a group of girlfriends. And I've got to admit, on the day that it was happening, I woke up, I was really tired, it was really cold. I literally couldn't think of anything I wanted to do less. And I got there and it was just the best tonic. I left full of laughter and food that I hadn't cooked. And it was just amazing. I absolutely loved it. And it was so beautiful down there. I highly recommend.
So nice.
So nice. Becky, have you been out yet?
Oh, do you know what? I'm in the camp that didn't book anything, naively thinking I'd get into anywhere. And I'm not joking, you, all the pubs around here, Heather, I'm sure you're the same. We're about sort of 15 minutes apart. But I'm in the countryside a bit more, and I thought I could just rock up to one of the pubs, like the Bull in Ditchling. It's been heaving. We've not been able to get anywhere, so I sort of feel like I'm still quite trapped inside. But I have now lined a few things up for May, sure.
Bring on May.
But yeah, other than that, but I do also keep forgetting you can see people in your garden. So actually, that's kind of what we've been making the most of. Yeah, exactly. When you can't get a reservation, don't forget, you can bring the drinks outside.
When you're not used to doing something, it feels really naughty, doesn't it?
So when they start making loads of noise, I feel like I need to go, shh, don't.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
it's fine. Okay. It's legal.
Yeah,
I actually wore myself out a bit last week. I was too busy.
So you look like you were definitely in the organised, like, oh, yeah, things will definitely reopen on that date camp. Because I think I just thought that they wouldn't, so I didn't bother.
Yeah, no, I have. Not a huge amount. I'd only booked... I booked dinner out on Monday night, and like the first night out, and Sunday, and then I had various other bits and bobs that kind of cropped up. But God, just life again. Like, just been amazing to go out. But the thing is also, it's so funny how you forget how irritated you get by all of those things as well. Like, I went to get my nails done on Friday and they kept me waiting for half an hour and I got so irritated and I was like, for God's sake, this doesn't happen if I just, you know, it would have been done by now if I did it at home. And then again, then we tried to get a table at Granger & Co. on at lunchtime and it was an hour and a half wait and you're like, oh, for goodness sake, you know, you forget. It's so easy to slip back into being so irate with all the things that you really missed and really enjoyed. So pros and cons to everything, I think. I think I'll be going out less still, I think, than I did pre-lockdown, pre-corona.
It is a really funny thing, isn't it? I think it's going to take a while. But we were talking to Sherry, who's also on the team, and she said she went out and got cold because she got so cold out. The next day, she ended up going down with something. So it's like, God, we're all such a mess.
I mean, since I had COVID last March, my immune system has been the best it has ever been. I mean, obviously after that hideous recovery, I mean, I've been the wettest I've ever been because for obvious
reasons.
Charlotte,
I don't
think I'm not quite prepared to going back to my.
I think it's because you haven't.
No, I know it's not my immune system.
You've been sat in your house.
That's exactly my point. So I'm saying, you know, it's had a chance to recover, but I'm a bit nervous for it. Once I start taking that rush hour train again. I'm not looking forward to that. What has everybody been watching, listening to? I'm hoping someone's going to be able to talk about Promising Young Woman with me. Heather, well, I'm banking on you.
Yes, I reviewed it for SL, so I managed to watch it a couple of days before it came out on Sky Cinema. And I was desperate to talk to somebody about it because obviously it hadn't come out yet. So, hi, Charlotte, let's talk.
Woohoo, let's chat.
I'm intrigued to hear because I watched a trailer and it's something I really want to watch, but the trailer makes it look a bit cringe, I thought. So I cannot wait to hear a full breakdown, guys.
It's definitely not cringe. So we should say, for those who don't know, it is written and directed by Emerald Fennell. I think Georgie touched on that last week and said that she was looking forward to it, so we won't give you her background again, but it's starring Kerry Mulligan.
Yeah, this doesn't give too much away because it is why the film exists. But yeah, there's Cassie, the main character, and her friend was raped while they were at college. And now she spends her days kind of getting revenge by going out at night, dressing up and pretending to be really, really drunk so that when these really nice guys come over to help and then offer to take her home and they inevitably end up at these blokes' apartments, she then sort of reveals that she isn't drunk and some sort of revenge is meted out.
The context of that rape as well is the kind of lad culture that everybody's so familiar with, you know, in universities and everywhere else. In this fictional story, it happened whilst they were at medical school, but it wasn't, you know, it was one of those circumstances in which the guys have a kind of, in inverted commas, defense because the girl was really drunk and she seemed really up for it and she was wearing a short skirt. So it's what has kind of traditionally through the male gaze been considered as a grey area, what women have always known to be rape. And it is an exploration of that, of the culture that leads to that. And yeah, a kind of juicy revenge story after an incident like that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And Becky, I know you said it looked really cringe, but I basically have to watch it. But there's a lot of like the choice of music and the colour palette and other things. It kind of starts off being very sort of OTT and you're kind of like, oh, what's all this about? I thought this was, you know, a serious film about like rape culture. What's going on?
I think that was
all
my
of those
thing.
Things are very deliberate and it all kind of builds up to this ending that I certainly didn't see coming where, ooh, I don't know, just kind of a massive weight to the ending when all these different things are going on and it's assaulting your eyes sort of. And then you're like, oh, shit.
Interesting.
There's a point at which I'd say about halfway through, you're a bit like, I'm not really sure where this is going. Like, you know, we get all that stuff from the trailer where we know she kind of, you know, catfishes these guys and pretends she's super drunk and kind of, you've seen all of that. And then something else kind of develops a bit and you're not really sure what the point is. And then I'd say the last half an hour is explosive. It plays on those bits again that you find cringe, Becky, is because there's lots of kind of conventional rom-com tropes kind of throughout and it plays a lot on that. And then it just kind of burns it all down at the end.
I think
and that's
what's
so genius about it.
Yeah, because obviously I haven't seen it. I've only seen the trailer. But when I watched the trailer, I thought, God, this is so like gaudy and quite just not what I expected from what I've heard. But I'm 100% going to watch it because I've heard such good things. But also, what's Kerry Mulligan like in it? I feel like I've not seen her in something for ages.
Yeah, she's brilliant in it. I mean, she's been nominated for an Oscar for it. And it's quite funny because like when the film came out in the States last year, this critic for Variety was like, oh, she's not sexy enough for the role, and like Margaret Robbie is one of the producers on the film, and he was like, she definitely should have played the character like Carey Mulligan can't be sexy, and was like, oh, you know, when she's dressing up for a night out, she just looks like she's in bad drag, and he got like really criticised for that by Carey Mulligan herself as well. So I think a lot of
but also like that's the whole sorry yeah. that's the whole point of the whole point of this film is that men are just tosses. Why would a male critic come out and say that? It's ridiculous.
Someone
clearly missed the point there, didn't they?
Well, exactly. But yeah, so anyway, I think all blokes should watch it, to be honest, because it is
eye-opening. Yeah, I was chatting to Polly about it yesterday because her husband's like a real movie buff, and I had put a thing on Instagram saying that I thought it was brilliant, and him and I were chatting and he said he thought it was like completely brilliant and loved it. And I think most guys, obviously not to the extent that's shown in the film, but most men are guilty, you know, completely, probably even unwittingly, of a lot of the behaviour that is highlighted in this film. But I think there's a lot of uncomfortable home truths.
I think so, and I think where the film is really clever is that all these nice guys are played by sort of noughties teen guys. Like there's like Seth from the OC's then McLovin from Superbad, like all these people who've played like traditional nice guys in films and series of the past, and now these sort of ooh, I'm not sure about that guy, which I thought was really clever, because you were just like...
All of that, Heather, again, nods to Becky, what you were saying, you know, about those kind of... It's kind of perverting all of these rom-com norms. It's such a good watch. Like,
it is.
Really,
I really want to watch
everybody
it.
Everybody should watch it.
I really want to watch it again, which I don't always say straight away, having seen a film, but like, I'm really like, yes, I want to watch it again, like, immediately.
Oh, God. Totally agree. You've sold it to me 100%.
Yeah, sign me up.
Also, so I was just going to say, I think it's quite timely, isn't it, at the moment? Mm. I think a lot of people have started to sort of reflect on that topic, particularly with things that have gone on so far this year. So it's a very timely watch, for sure.
Anyone else been watching anything good?
I had a real binge of the new TV show Too Close on ITV.
Yeah, we discussed that? Because you messaged me about it the other day and I was like, what's that? But it's, I knew it would be some sort of gory death drama.
Well, it's actually, bear with me guys, it's actually more of a psychological show, and it's got Emily Watson and Denise Goff in. Emily Watson's a forensic psychiatrist and Denise Goff is her patient. It's only 3 episodes, you can watch it on ITV Hub. And it is really, really harrowing. I think it's not the kind of thing I'd say you have to be in the mood for. It's not really, you don't feel really depressed afterwards. But basically, a really terrible incident happens at the beginning with Denise Goff. And she kind of unpicks it with Emily Watson as to why it happened. But I have to say, the acting between the two of them is like phenomenal for ITV, you know, a drama that was quite sort of unexpected. It's just such strong female acting. And it's really sad, but the premise of the story, without giving too much away, is it kind of shows, and what I found so fascinating is it shows what all of us really are capable of in the right sort of traumatic situations and with the wrong medication. And I think it's just that's the kind of fascinating thing that underpins the whole story. And you kind of come away from it thinking like, oh my God, what is the brain capable of? And it's all about how things play tricks on Denise Goff. And above all, it's just very, very sad, and you feel real empathy for both characters. But it's so worth watching because there is a few twists and turns. But it has a kind of ending as well that I feel is quite realistic. You don't come away and think, oh, but you come away and you feel like that is exactly what would happen. So it's quite a realistic story of a forensic psychiatrist and her patient.
That's it from me.
Great. Sounds well worth a watch. Speaking of things to watch, I wanted to move on and talk about the theatre. We wrote a feature on 16 top theatre shows to book now. These are shows either that were on pre-COVID and obviously have been cancelled, or newcomers to the West End scene. And I wanted to know if you guys have booked anything, what you would recommend, or what you just really want to go and see. Laura, I'll start with you. Is there anything on this list?
Well, I was super excited to see that Pretty Woman is coming to the stage. Hello, that's right on my street. I love a musical. And Frozen and Cinderella, my children are obsessed with both the films and I think would love them both. And I feel sad that I haven't been able to take them to anything yet because it's been shut for so long. So yeah, those two are definitely on my list, but no, I haven't booked anything yet.
Cinderella's the new Andrew Lloyd Webber one as well, so you know it's going to be good.
It's going to be,
be like a sort of panto-esque kind of thing, I think.
It's a retelling, like it's a twist on the story, isn't it?
Yeah,
like it's not an exact...
He's written it with Emerald Fennell.
Oh, that's cool. of promising young woman fame. There we go. Oh, it'll definitely be good in that case.
Mm.
It'll definitely be good. Heather, what do you recommend from this list as well? What do you think, if people haven't bought tickets for anything at all yet, what is the hottest ticket in town, apart from Cinderella?
I'm really excited about Amelie the musical because I absolutely love the film. It was one of my favourites when I was sort of in my late teens, early 20s. And it did really, really well on tours and things and was like a complete sellout before it's landed over here. So I think that one's going to be really good. Frozen is the big one to get if you really loved it. Okay. I've never seen the film, but I know everyone is.
Heather.
Yeah.
You have to watch for it. Come on. You have to watch Frozen.
I'll watch
like you have to have seen
children.
It. It's just no, it's just like part of the modern canon.
I know the song. I'd probably sing all the words to that just because it's on all the time, regardless of where you are. But what I was going to say is that so the people who wrote Let It Go have written a lot of the songs for this, so I do think it'll be be very good. And also, I've seen everybody's talking about Jamie before. It's had a few different casts.
Oh, I
want to
see it.
It's so good. Like, I saw it when it first came out and didn't have any expectations. And I still, like, sing some of the songs in my head, having only heard them once. And I think that's a sign of an excellent
I love
musical.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's brilliant. I know you've seen Come From Away,
yeah,
Charlotte.
Agreed.
I still haven't seen it, but really would like to watch it.
Has anybody seen Six?
I haven't, but my friend who loves musicals saw it when it was still quite small and said it's absolutely amazing. So I'm quite keen to see that one.
Yeah, really
my friend, one of my best friend's sisters was at Cambridge and two of her really close friends are the writers of Six.
Amazing.
And so you'll be discussed. They're like 25 and they wrote it when they were at Cambridge.
Wow.
And it was just like a small whatever Footlights production or something, which is now an international
huge
musical, which is
if people don't
depressing,
know
about
Henry VIII's wives, but sort of as pop princesses rather than sort of beheaded queens and stuff.
Yeah, it's a sassy
love
take
that.
On Henry sassy VIII's wives take. Isn't it?
But the other one I'd say, Back to the Future, the musical, starts in August, and that looks insane if anyone loves the film. Like, I think the stuff that, just even by looking at the production shots, it looks really cool.
Becky, anything to recommend?
Oh, do you know what?
Anything on your list?
I was going to say, I've not actually been to the theatre since I was, like, a child. How bad is that? I just have, well, it's not bad, I just haven't. And it's odd, because I used to work right by the theatres in Piccadilly, but yeah, I've not been, but I must admit, I agree with Heather, I love the film Amelie, so I would say that if there was one off this list, it would definitely be that. I've also
I was listening to Elaine Page on Sunday.
Nice.
Showing my cool credentials here. And she was saying that the name Amelie has gone to number one or something because of the release of this.
Is that why? Because I have seen
a very close
creeping up the list, but I didn't realize.
I've got a very close friend with an Amelie. I think it's gorgeous.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
What was Amelie even about? I know I saw it, but I can't remember at all.
So it is about this woman called Amelie who basically lives in her own little dream world, and you know, she hasn't really got any friends and a tragic sort of family past, but she's kind of just endlessly positive about absolutely everything and just sets about creating random acts of kindness among other people's lives. And it's just, there's not much by the way of plot, but it's just a very uplifting, beautifully acted film with an incredible soundtrack. Okay. And it's all set in Paris, which is just why I really
gorgeous.
Like it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
gorgeous.
I can imagine it being brought to life on stage, you know.
Yeah,
really beauty.
I will give a shout out, you touched on it before, Heather, but to Come From Away, which I've talked about on the podcast before, so I won't bang on about it, but I think it's almost better than Hamilton. It's amazing.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Also, like, Hairspray's so coming back. Like, that's the most
beautiful
musical out there.
Hairspray.
I love
Ball's
the Hairspray
back
soundtrack
as well. So
Michael Ball's back.
Good.
I saw Michael
He's
Ball
back.
In Hairspray about 15 years ago.
Well, quite. He won many awards at the time. He's back as Edna. So I think, if there was actually one on this list, that's it. Because we all need a bit of joy after all this, don't we?
Yeah.
That would
true.
Good Morning Baltimore blasting out straight away.
Yeah.
Right there.
Although I'd always actually take the film version because a bit of Zac Efron is always my preference. 100%. Speaking of cultural events, Heather, you wrote a roundup of the best food festivals across the UK this summer. This is my kind of festival, FYI. You won't see me at Glastonbury anytime soon, but I would hit a food festival. So can you just chat us through what they are, how they're working with COVID, and which ones we should book?
Absolutely. Can I also just say it's been so nice being able to write about my normal topics this month.
I bet. Things
to do and go and see and try. Like, it's so nice to having basically had a year off. Yeah, no, food festivals. They're basically kind of like normal festivals now. You can camp at loads of them. They often have like music and live entertainment as well. But if you're mainly, you know, all about the food when you go to any of these sorts of events, they're definitely the ones to go to. So in London, there's Taste of London, which has got on for ages now, and they're sort of a series of one day things you can go to, and you basically just get given these tokens, and loads of amazing chefs have got chef demos or, you know, their own stalls and places. So traditionally it's been a place where you could go and try like the hero dish from these like epic restaurants in miniature form and just sort of taste your way around the London food scene, I suppose, is a good way of describing it. So
who can you expect to see there this year?
So they haven't actually announced it yet for this one. So that's not very annoying when I was writing it up. But no, tickets go on sale next Wednesday, the 28th, and I think that's when they're going to announce exactly who we can expect to see. It's taking place in July this year over a couple of weekends. But then, yeah, people are being a bit more like innovative this year. So Tom Kerridge has created the Alfresco Theatre Drive-In, where he's kind of obviously combining outdoor cinema, which I think will be a massive thing again this year, you know, as it was last year. But I think people are trying to take it up a notch. So this is, yeah, a drive-in cinema, but it's got food from, yeah, like Rick Stein, Tom Kerridge, Paul Ainsworth, Jason Atherton, Atul Kocha. And basically they've created their own sort of menu. So you just choose like which menu you'd like, and then that's what you get while you watch a film. And I think they're doing live comedy and music as well, so it's not just a drive-in cinema.
Sorry, but that sounds phenomenal. Like,
and do you have to book and buy a ticket?
You have to buy your ticket, and I think that's when you kind of select whether you want Tom Kerridge's smoked applewood cheeseburger or whether you want Jason's picnic box, for example.
They've got quite a few dates.
So in like Tunbridge Wells, Bath, Henley, Warwick, St Albans and West London. So there's a few different places
that
are doing it. But I think that sounds really good. Not necessarily ones for veggies, but Meatopia usually takes place every September at Tobacco Dock. And if you're into any sort of barbecue food, it's the place to go. It's like, usually, I don't know what they can do this year, but they get loads of, if US chefs come over and you can just like eat loads of amazing food. So that's a big one.
Heather, I've been meaning to go to Meatopia for years. I'm going to get tickets this year.
You should. Yeah, definitely. Mm. I think, yeah, it'll be really good. I think anything this year will be really good, won't it? Because it'll just be so nice to get out and about.
These are the kind of things I really look forward to. Like, everyone's kind of excited for all sorts of things, but this really speaks to me on a different level because it's outside anyway. It's just fun. Yeah. There'd be such a good atmosphere. Mm. I think what about the Dorset Food Festival one, Heather? That sounds incredible. It's a seafood.
Yeah, so that's beautiful, that one. So that's in Weymouth, but yeah, it's sponsored by Night Timber as well, which is
a dream.
But yeah, they've moved it back to September this year, just, I guess, to hope that it really does happen. But seafood on the coast with lots of like sparkling wine and the usual chef demos and street food stuff. But yeah, I think, yeah, if you were looking for a staycation around that time, I don't think you should definitely book round there because it'd be really lovely. And then there's Moulton as well, which is up in Yorkshire, which is a similar thing at the end of August, and that'll have Tommy Banks, who's the guy behind, you know, the Black Swan at Oldstead, who's on Great British Menu and Saturday Kitchen all the time. So, yeah, they'll have some really nice stuff. So, yeah, it's not all London-centric, essentially. There's stuff going on across the country.
Laura, the Moulton one, is that what Alice Naylor Leyland's husband does?
Oh, yes, that is.
I think it is.
I bet it is. Exactly. Ooh.
Tom and Moulton is his Insta handle. That's the clue.
Well, there we go. Another reason to go there, and it'll probably look very
exactly. I was going to say, I'm sure it'll be incredibly chic in that case. Okay, well, if you are interested in going to a food festival this summer, I mean, who wouldn't be? Then do have a look at the feature on the site. We should also say we ran a feature on the music festivals that are going ahead this summer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's finish by talking about fashion. We wrote a feature on the prairie pieces that we're loving right now. I have a feeling there's some fans of this look on this podcast. This is everything from big billowing dresses to puff sleeve blouses to peasant style skirts. I mean, if we thought prairie mania had taken off last summer, the summer before, even stronger now, I'd say. Yeah, well, it must have been, obviously. It wasn't last summer, was it? Laura, it's right up your street.
It's right up my street. It's all my favourite designers making all my favourite pieces. So Horror Vacui, is that how you say her name? Is it Luc Von Seeger? Mm-hmm. Just everything they do at the moment just draws me right in. Love it. Pretty, mm-hmm. feminine, perfect for summer, like a billowy dress. It is literally made for me. The only thing that I would say for me that I would be a bit careful about is there's quite a lot of ruching. And I think if you've got a big boob, then you just need to be careful about that ruching across your boobs. But other than that, ticks every single box.
Agreed. I suppose the antidote to that is a lot of square necklines, which I think look great with big boobs. So that's true. That's what to go for, if not. Do you have any tips for making these really prairie pieces feel kind of not too girly?
Oh, I don't know if I do it consciously, but I think I don't ever really wear heels or anything like that. So I think that automatically kind of dresses it down. Or like at the moment, I'm wearing a lot of sort of knitted vests over the tops of these dresses. So I guess that kind of adds an element of blokiness to a degree.
You've got a great collection of Meadows, haven't you?
I have. And also, I've never bought one full price because there always seem to be a sale on somewhere. I have actually bought one. It arrived yesterday that happened to be in this piece when it went live yesterday. Well, I'm gonna have to send it back because the one thing I'd say about Meadows, I love all of it, but they're not really designed for short asses like me, and I just don't know if I can afford to get all of them taken up. Because you know that massive one where I got called royalty on the show, that one's really wide and really long, but I think because it's so big and wide, you can kind of get away with it, or I feel like I can get away with it sort of almost dragging along on the floor, whereas this one is definitely more of a nice summer day dress. And yeah, I mean, it's about 5 inches too long for me. So actually, I'm looking, it's not actually on here. It's that Lupin Top Joplin floral blouse version we've got in here, but they've got a dress version.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very sort of straight down the line. It's not sort of cinched in anywhere, but yeah, it's just very long. So I don't know, I'm toying with whether to keep it or not, because I love the pattern, I think it's gorgeous, and I got a good price for it. But if I have to spend however much getting it taken up, it could be problematic.
Becky, you're definitely also partial to a floaty floral number.
I love me a floaty floral number. I was just actually shopping the whole feature while we were all talking. I love the square necks more. I feel like a round neck actually does nothing for me. The round neck ones tend to... I feel like I'm at school. I know that sounds stupid. I feel like I look like I'm at school in a floral round neck. But I think it's because I'm shorter and it tends to just swamp me. But I do like this trend for the kind of square necks that feel a bit more modern and a bit... They suit petite people quite well, I think.
So yeah, big fan. I love the Reformation dresses. I think they're beautiful. And I also love the Free People option on here. It's called the Dahlia Maxi dress. It's like a yellow tone. That is a
that's gorgeous.
I love, love that.
If you want to just have a nod to the trend, just with a blouse, if a dress feels too much, just so the pretty prairie blouses are everywhere on the high street and a bit more high end. So I think everybody.
And even with a collar, you could just buy one of those big oversized collars and transform all of your existing pieces into something that looks a bit more prairie-esque, couldn't you? I think we should also just give a shout out to Serafina, who have been around for a while, but my god, their dresses are incredible right now, aren't they, Laura?
Oh my god, it's been winking at me, that pink dress, for just
gorgeous, that.
So pretty. And I think the length, I think, is good if you are if you're a little bit smaller like me. I think they're good too. So yeah, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a really clever collection that sort of, if you kind of have a more traditional style, you'll love them, but actually they feel really fashion forward as well. So
totally,
definitely the place to go, I think, now. All right, well, no doubt there'll be plenty more floral prairie style fashion to come on Sherlock's over the coming months, so do have a look at this feature to shop it now. I think that's just about it for today. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sherlock.com. we love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.